Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
I just said that.
Yeah,
thanks for letting us know a second time. Isn't that wonderful?
No, I said nothing.
And now you can't find your...
I got it.
Yeah,
I'm good. Because I know who you are.
Yeah, that's
You're
good.
You're Steve Silva.
Yes, I am.
I know who she is.
Who?
That's Amber Ash McCary.
Oh, my gosh.
I know who this big lug is. That's our producer, Zach.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Yeah, buddy. There we go, man. Like for sure. And I am Sean Roberts. Together we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And, of course, we're streaming to you live from Orange County, California, 10 a.m. here on the West Coast, 1 p.m. on the East Coast with Delmarva Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today and every Saturday as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, with the hopes of getting them into the Radio Hall of Fame this summer. So it's in process.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have high hopes.
We just got to wait for the results now.
Waiting
just
game.
Remember to continue to follow Mark and Brian, R-H-O-F, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on how you can help them get into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I know. Fingers crossed on this one. Fingers
Absolutely.
Crossed.
We got to get in this year.
Wow.
So for those of you who recently followed us, thank you guys so much for joining the family, and we are always glad to have you listening to the show.
Yes, we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. It's going to be a little bit of a short show because I do have an event I do need to run out to afterwards, and so it's all about timing. But we've got lockdown pickups for you guys. We've also got guest Mark Bonilla coming he'll be on the phone with us to help us discuss something that I thought was pretty interesting. I saw an article regarding it, and it's basically looking at all the albums that the Monkees have done.
That's right.
And seeing which one is the worst to the best, because this year actually marks the 50th anniversary that both the Beatles and the Monkees broke up. 50 years ago this year, so.
Breakup time.
Yeah. So, anyway, so we're going to kind of go through that. So, Mark Bonilla is going to be joining us, and we also got some listener emails, too, for you guys as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, always remember and never forget. Wherever you go.
Try not to.
There you are. No.
Listen to me now and speak to me later.
You can interact with the show commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
And so not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, guys, rate and review the show.
Yes, please. Very, very important that you guys all do
even
that for us.
Even if you give us a bad rating. Just, no, no. Yeah. No, actually, don't. Leave if you're going to do that.
No, we'll take the good with the bad. We'll take the good with the bad. We don't care. Because, you know, the people that listen to us are Mark and Brian listeners. So that means they're stupid replaceable listeners as well. So,
right.
You know, they know who they are.
Ouch.
The SROs. Hey, Dan Novak said it too.
He did.
You know, so they know that. All 7,000 of them know they're replaceable.
Ouch.
We'll go out, we'll get another 7,000.
That's right.
Okay. We don't mind. But for now, we love them all.
Bing, bang, boom.
You know, exactly. So
there must have been at least 1,400 in that line outside the front door this morning.
I think
that was for Ross. I think that was for us.
Well, you know, guys, the theme song today, you were wondering which one it is.
Yeah,
You've never heard
of
that before. If you love that, then I need you to watch two movies.
Okay.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Seen it.
One and two.
Okay. Eddie and the Cruisers 1 and 2.
Yeah. This one came from 2. This is John Cafferty in the Beaver Brown Band.
Mm-hmm,
he
mm-hmm.
did both soundtracks, and that is John's big claim to fame. He does the singing voice for Eddie Wilson.
Oh.
And that's huge.
It's very huge. And that's where that came from. So it's so important. So
I love the good blues.
Oh, so good. And, yeah, that good scene... Stuff. Is a great scene, and whoever wrote the script for the second one had to be a musician, because there's just so many things in there that a musician understands. So, but
I'll check it out.
Yeah. So the theme song again was "Garden of Eden" by John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. Remember, any artists that we play here, you can also get them from our sponsor. And we're going to do this one real quick, guys, because I know we're behind time already, which is Amazon. So make sure you can get all of the music that we play off of Amazon. Just use our banner. Go click it. Go use it. Go shopping. I did a bunch of shopping this week and everything to get some stuff on Amazon. Stuff is still coming in. I think Karen's going to be surprised.
In a good way?
I don't know yet. I'm still waiting to find out.
She finally get that meat slicer?
Yes, she did. I think so, yeah.
Oh, my.
Use our Amazon banner, guys, because it helps us stay on the air. So that's basically it.
Amazon.
Yes, absolutely.
Done.
So real quick, let's go ahead and do a catch me up and catch up with each other. I go first?
Yeah.
Sean, you know what? Why don't you go first for a change?
Hey, Sean, you know what I was thinking this morning? You know how we can start the show? You go first.
You know what? F y'all, okay?
Hey.
No, because I got to talk about this one place. If you are a comic collector, if you're a nerd, a geek, and you're into Pokemon, you're into Marvel, you're into DC Comics, you're into... the anime stuff.
That's
you
me.
Know, all that stuff. Frank and Sons.
Oh, God, I've been there so many times. I love it.
Frank and Sons.
Yes.
In City of Industry is now open.
Ooh. Then they relocated.
Yeah, they relocated. They were kind of hidden at first in the City of Industry. Mm-hmm. They are now, you can see them right off the 60 freeway. They moved into, I think, the old Costco is what it is, a warehouse. And
it's that big?
It's that big,
yeah.
Yes.
Whoa.
And that's what she said.
That's where you do that It's Huge thing. That's where that fits in.
God.
But anyway, that's where they moved to. And Roman and I wanted to go down Sunday. And it was going to take us about an hour and a half to get in. The line was that long.
Oh, my goodness.
So we said, you know what?
But it's so cool.
But we were disappointed. And I said, you know what? Let's come back and wait. I said, let's come back Wednesday, because they're open Wednesdays and then on the weekends.
Okay.
Why, dude, can I?
Yeah.
If you go on, I'm going to have Wednesdays off. I really, really want to go.
If you want to go again next Wednesday, we can go.
If I think I will have that day off, I do. I really want to go.
Okay. We got to get there at least a half hour to 40 minutes before they open.
What time?
So you're talking, we have to get there at least by 2:30.
Because they
open at
you
3.
You can sleep in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they open at 3. And they stay open until 9 p.m. the line not only went through the front of Costco, but down the side of the building where the train tracks are at, and looped back around to the parking lot.
My.
So we were fortunate. We were on that loop coming back about halfway down, but we got in on the first go-round. So you got to get there a half hour before then, at least. And you're going to sit and wait there. But we got in, and they have it strictly that you have to wear masks. You have to. Every aisle is a one direction only.
Yeah.
If you don't abide by it, they will kick you out.
No way.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're very strict about it. And when we went Sunday, it was their opening weekend, so we went back this past Wednesday. Roman got some new Pokemon stuff, and I got him some new Batmobiles for his collection and everything. So,
what are you gonna get me?
Is that the game that they're playing downstairs that you got?
Yeah, no, that's something else.
Something else? Okay.
That's something else. So, but just want to say, it's now open, and I know Zach's a huge geek when it comes to those certain things,
anime.
Too.
Anime.
And it's now, go out, enjoy it, guys, but be prepared, wear your masks for it and stuff still. But it's really, really good.
My kids are really into that stuff.
You know what's funny is, like, this
I don't have the money right now.
This is how long that place has been open. I've been going there since I was 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When I was, first time I went there was, 10, and I got a couple of Dragon Ball figures that were still in the boxes, and they're Japanese and all that. I think I still have them in my closet somewhere. But, yeah, God, I love Frickin' Sons. Yeah. Neat place.
Yeah. And believe me, you can spend a ton of money there because, I mean, everything from Star Wars and stuff to old toys and everything. I just found out that my Batman and Robin stuff that I got when I was younger from those, what they call the Superpowers collection, every figure is now worth a minimum of $50.
That's not bad.
And that's off the card.
That's a tank of gas.
What's funny about this place is you go in there thinking, I'm just going to look around. I'm not going to buy anything. And then fast forward an hour later, you got like all this stuff. You're like, damn it.
That sounds dangerous. Because
you went to the ATM machine and go, I will pay the $250 extra charge.
And there is one.
Wait, is it cash only?
It depends on the people. Because each booth is a separate individual booth.
Oh,
so it's kind of like Comic-Con.
Gotcha.
Think of it kind of like an indoor swap meet.
Yeah.
Dig. I like that.
So, yeah. So, it's really cool.
Okay.
So, some people will do it off their square or whatever.
Separate
some
are
cash only.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything is a separate vendor. So,
you want to see me come to live? Watch me in that place.
It's amazing. It's amazing over there. Yeah. It's really cool. So,
wow.
So, I had to share that, though.
It's like a Comic-Con little. It's like a mini. Yeah.
Kind of, I guess. I don't know.
Huh.
Steve's falling asleep over there.
Yeah. So, Steve.
He doesn't care about that stuff.
How was your week?
It was generally okay.
All right, cool.
But there is one thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I discovered that within like a 6 or 7 minute walk of my house, there's a neighborhood market in my neighborhood.
Oh.
It's like if you walk up Gilbert to La Palma and then walk toward the freeway.
Oh, yeah. On the left-hand
side. That first street. It's just as you go by, it's over there. And I decided, with all the bus problems and there's some things I don't get because I can't carry enough, and they've got these things like some cookies or crackers
and he forgets
like
to call me too.
Is it a mom and pop joint?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I went in there to check it out, and it's like, this is really cool. I can just walk here, get some things that I run out of quickly.
Like hot wieners.
And
no beanie weenies.
Oh, my gosh. Vienna sausages?
More like chips.
Uh-huh.
And
vodka?
Yes.
What, you guys were there. Wow.
White Russians.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's really cool. It's called the Freeway Park Market.
Mm-hmm. And you're right shopping there. Local.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's why I decided I'm going to go here.
Steve's out there helping local businesses.
And
they've got these really cool, they're sort of like Mexican cookies that are just plain and they're not too sweet. And that's what I really like.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Like all crackly on.
They're really good. So,
what are those? Panna.
Anyway, support your local markets.
Panna.
What do you call those? The Mexican cookies. They have a name.
They have a name. Julio?
No!
Well, he's down by the schoolyard.
He's down by the schoolyard.
Penasaria? I don't know. I'm
the Latino in the group, and I have no idea.
I'm like, what's going on here?
Don't look at me.
I look at you like, what is it?
I was born in Bellflower, so,
right,
hey.
All right, fine.
Well, Mama spit on the ground every time his name was mentioned.
So. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, how was your week, Amber?
I had sick kids. We just did a lot of hanging out, lots of cooking. And then it's
they feeling better now, though? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have brought them over if they, they weren't feeling better. Don't worry. Yeah. But, yeah, things are starting to open up, so we get to start doing some things.
Nice.
Oh, it's weird.
Yeah.
You can walk in places and sit down, and it's like spaced out, like seating. But it's
weird. You can still do it. Finally.
Yeah. Yeah. And our pool is opening soon.
Oh, cool.
That means I can come over and go swimming.
Yes, but it's very strict. There's all these guidelines.
We're gonna wear a mask in the water.
No, snorkel.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But there's only it's this massive resort style pool. There's only 11 bodies allowed in there at a time, and you have to be swimming. If you're not utilizing the pool,
you can't be out sunbathing or anything like that.
They've taken every cushion away because we have a lot of college students.
Yeah.
And they're like, no parties.
Tell them to go to
no
Cancun.
Groups. If you're not on a lease, no. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh,
yeah.
So you can't go hang out there.
Nope.
All you can do is go in and use the pool and then leave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which no one really does.
Steve,
they have parties.
So for you, you would go in, pee, come back out.
Oh,
back
my
out.
God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the pool.
We're having the same
Who
thing
doesn't?
Here.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, we're having the same
and
thing here.
And then we have a huge hot tub, too, which is like the hang spot where everybody's right. kicking it in the evenings. No nope. hot tub.
Yeah, exactly.
These Aww. College kids are going to freak
yeah.
out.
I think we're allowed like 20 minutes only.
Oh, we're allowed up to 2 hours.
Yeah, we're only allowed 20 minutes or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, they want us to use it for exercising rotate. Or whatever and mm-hmm. rotate people and what have you. But, yeah, we can't lay out in the sun or anything like that either or what have you. So, yeah, we're going through the same thing.
And people will be safe from skin cancer this summer.
So, how about you, Zach? How was your week?
Well, I am balls deep into philosophy, and I just finished learning about Thakur teeth.
Dragon balls? Dragon balls?
Morons.
Morons, wait, what?
Oh, morons.
They're not. Socrates.
Oh, okay.
Socrates? Aristotle? You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Morons.
Oh, they're doing a joke.
Yeah,
okay.
Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Oh, right. can I continue?
Movie references. Yeah. Movie quotes.
But... I actually, so there's 9 quizzes in the entire semester. I think it's like a 5-week semester. And we've taken 2, and each quiz is like 5 questions. I got 4 out of 5 out of both so far. So I guess I'm retaining it. It's really interesting. God, the book is, one of the books is like The Trial and Death of Socrates. It is, the dialogue is so hard to read. It's hard to understand because it gets into it really, really deep. But I guess I'm doing okay in it. I guess I think what's the next? I think Rene Descartes or does anyone know how to pronounce
Descara?
That? That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love philosophy.
I know. I'm starting to like it. It's just again, I'm doing fine in it. I'm getting it. It's just the book reading is just atrocious because the dialogue is so in depth and complicated. Luckily, we have a good teacher to explain everything. And it's again, we can't obviously go to campus and do it. So he just. Every week, every day, he'll put like 2 or 3 videos of his lectures, and it's like a PowerPoint. And then so he'll be talking, and then like the little PowerPoint facts will pop up.
That's cool.
And he explains it. Yeah, it is really cool. I retain the information a lot better listening than I do reading. So when I'm doing either Postmates or I'm at work delivering food or whatever, I just listen to it in my car. I'll listen to it like about 5 times.
That's good.
Just so I just...
Get it in the brain.
I just get it in the brain, mm-hmm. and then I'll go back and read the book a little bit again to see if I missed anything. And, you know, like I said, that's why I'm getting...
Hey, Steve.
Good grades in the quiz.
Good.
He was waxing philosophical in the car over here this morning.
No, don't.
Really.
Well, you know what?
Don't start.
He's getting it in the brain, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting it in the brain.
Philosophy is a fantastic thing to learn. There's so many different... You notice how everything overlaps?
Yeah. Yeah. And Socrates might have been the wisest man alive, according to what I've read. It's just kind of...
Ahead of his time.
Yeah. I don't want to get too much into it. Steve and I had a mouthful
talking. We can get into this later.
He's getting in the brain.
Did I say mouthful?
Yeah. And he's has a mouthful.
Yeah. I think he's more like getting it in the pinky.
Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
Anyway, right. So that's what I did.
All right. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left before we call Mark. So let's do emails real quick.
Letters. We get letters. We get letters almost every day. every single day, getting some mail. Got some letters.
Okay, so I get to go first.
All right.
Okay, so this is an exercise for me because I love getting the positive ones and I love my positive feedback I get, but now I have to take a lesson in
criticism.
Some criticism that we received.
Hold on to your seats,
and just,
people.
Just sum it up.
Sum it up? Okay, so this is from a couple weeks ago. Yeah, March. So is this from listener Denise?
Hi, Denise.
And I'm here to... I hope I'm improving. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Denise, she felt that I talk over you guys. Just shut up, okay? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. That I was, you know, thank you, Sean.
Welcome.
That I was, you know, talking over a little too much and going on, and she had to fast forward occasionally through the show, and that Steve wasn't getting a word in edgewise. And so that's, and I hope that I'm improving in that. I hope that there's more cohesive talking. Did I miss something? What, you're giving me the look.
I'm letting you talk.
You're giving me the Sean
I'm letting
look.
You talk.
So, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I am super duper sweet too, just so you know. I am.
Shut up.
Spoonful of vinegar. But thank you, Denise. I hope I'm doing, I'm curious to hear what you think lately.
Not fast forwarding so much.
Huh?
Not fast forwarding so much to the podcast.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead, Steve.
I heard my name in that and sort of alluded to I should talk more. I don't know if I could take that much pressure.
Well, you know, we take the good, we take the bad.
Yeah.
And there you have the facts of life. So, you know, it's good that people do let us know. I mean, we do have people who love the show, some people who've been listening for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, so they've kind of gone through everything that was through Steve and I.
Yeah.
So it's constructive criticism. You know, we're not going to please everybody. We already know that, though. But I think it does help us at least improve because mm-hmm. when people overtalk on each other, it is hard. Or if you're interrupting or whatever, it is difficult. You kind of go, oh, I don't want to listen to this.
It muddles everything.
It does. So... No, it was a good.
She was nice. She was very, very.
Has she been listening to the show very long? Or?
She's been listening since episode 4 and the very beginning.
Oh, thank you. You better listen to her because she knows what the hell she's talking about. Then, so
that's
true. There you go.
Yeah.
So. Well, Dawn has too. Listener Dawn's been with you guys since the absolute
since day one.
Utter
yeah.
beginning. So.
Yeah. And she loves you, though.
And
so.
She loves me. She loves me. I love you, Don. So. Denise, I love you, too. You just don't know it.
Stupid replaceable listener.
Oh! Ouch.
Hey, that's what they are. They know what they are. We all are.
There's a whole boatload of them.
Yes, they
but
are.
But I am curious, Denise, if you've noticed a change, if you've noticed a little more cohesion.
Yeah. And seriously, thank you, Denise, for that email. Yeah. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
What do you got, Steve?
Okay. I've got something from listener Dan, the a-hole.
Listen, Dan the a-hole?
Yeah.
Okay.
His words, not mine.
Okay.
Okay.
Stupid replaceable.
Dear
a-hole.
Weekly Dose, for some time, I kept seeing your posts on the Mark and Brian 25-year Facebook page. I kept ignoring it because I thought, why would I want to listen to some wannabes? Then...
We are.
Yeah. I want to be outside now. You see what a beautiful day it is. Well... Anyway, then Dan saw the post about Sean's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And it said you guys were going to have a special guest. I'm thinking, like, what are they going to have happen? Mark and Brian call in? So I guess that made him listen to see.
Oh, wow.
And he says, well, yeah, Brian did call in to wish Sean a happy birthday. And the way he treated you guys was like lifelong friends.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then to hear Dan Novak talk about Sean, well, that made me feel like an a-hole.
You a-hole.
Name. There you go.
So don't be a fuckwad.
So not only am I listening live every Saturday. How you doing, Dan? It's good to have you. Yeah. But now I'm going back to show number 1 and playing catch up. Thanks for doing what you do, listener Dan. You don't have to be an a-hole, Dan.
Yeah, just be a hole.
Just be,
Don't be a fuckwad.
Be a whole listener. There you go.
So if we're giving all the slightly negative. That's a good one. That's a good turnaround.
That's like a backhanded compliment is what that is.
Yeah. Well, I think in a way that's kind of what you want to do is to appease the people that want to listen, but then affect people that maybe don't, and then they realize, oh, this isn't too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, now we've got listener Barbara.
Oh, boy, this ought to be fun, too.
Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. This is to Steve, Sean, Amber, and producer Zach.
Oh, God.
Just finished listening to Sean's birthday show. I just want to say, great. What a fun show, and thanks for getting Brian on. I know we can listen to Mark every week on his podcast, but to hear Brian's voice is always a treat, so thank you.
Aww.
And thank you for pointing that out, listener Barbara.
Yay!
Okay, this last one here is by listener Mike. Not Michael, Mike. Not Miguel, but listener Mike. Okay, Mike.
The not a-hole.
Michelangelo. Not an a-hole. Thank you guys for taking the time to discuss. And I like this, I think, email better than most of them we've read.
Okay.
Thank you guys for taking the time to discuss the protesters and riots that we all have been experiencing across this country of ours. I know Mark and Brian would have talked about it as well. And the way you guys handled it is truly in the Mark and Brian fashion. Thank you for that. Now we can all get on the road to recovery. By the way, Sticks tickets?
Hell no.
Oh, my God.
You can go to their damn free concerts that they're doing live and streaming and everything.
There you go.
Go on your own.
Yeah, there you go, listener Mike. So, you know, if we get Sticks tickets, you can be absolutely sure that we will use them.
And give you their link. So there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's some emails there for you guys.
Thank you.
Letters! We get letters!
Every single day, getting some mail. Got some letters.
Gotta love
that. It's like cavemen.
It never gets old.
That wears me out to listen to that.
Oh my gosh. Well, cool. Anyway, well, you know, guys, I saw an article quite some time ago, earlier this year, actually, and it was basically trying to talk about the Beatles and the Monkees and how ironic it was that it was 50 years ago this year that both groups broke up. And
did they plan this?
I don't know. And it was really interesting because the Beatles, I found some notes here, on April 10th, 1970, basically, Paul McCartney announces that he's leaving the Beatles. The Beatles are breaking up. 4 days later, Michael Nesmith films his last TV commercial and announces to the guys that he's leaving the Monkees and buys himself out of the contract with Screen Gems. How ironic is that? 4 days later.
There's something fishy there.
Okay. And then Mickey and Davey go into the studio in September 22nd to do the last recording sessions for their last album, which was called Changes. So to discuss this whole thing here, I wanted to bring in a fellow musician and a fellow friend and fellow Monkey fan himself, our dear friend Mark Bonilla. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, bro. So good to hear your voice.
Yeah. Good to hear anybody's voice.
True. Well, first off, before we get into this whole thing, Mark, how have you been and how have you been dealing with this whole COVID-19 bullshit?
Well, everything kind of, I mean, all the gigs as of March 8th, I think, or 15th around in there, went off the cliff like a herd of wild Mustangs. Just everything down, you know. And so that, you know, line of activity was immediately ceased. But I've actually been busy, like very busy, with sessions and videos and you know, all of these things here that have actually picked up as a result of that. There's a lot of, you know, because you're not in the studio, so people are asking, you know, can you do this at home, which I am. I'm working on Harry Shearer's new album.
Oh, nice.
And I've been doing all the guitar tracks here. CJ Vanston's been producing it and doing all that, and I'm doing all the tracks here and working with a lot of other people and doing things as well here, doing a lot of VO voiceover stuff and also taking care of stuff out in the backyard that I said, you know, I never have enough time to go address this. See, now I have no excuse. I have to dig the trench for the new sprinkler.
So how short is that honeydew list now?
Yeah, well, no, it kind of recycles, you know. It just keeps once one thing gets solved, then another thing happens, you know. So it's a perpetual list.
But
that's no problem with that.
Yeah, no, brother, I'm right there with you. Same thing for me. I was working for Trident Audio, and everything for making those mixers just stopped. So I got laid off, you know, from it and everything. And came home and we just finished repiping the house and everything. So here I am over at Home Depot getting paint and getting this and that to fix all the patchwork stuff up. So I'm there with you. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, the one thing I am getting tired of is keep going, what? What'd you say? What? Because the damn masks, you know, it's like, I hate those masks. I feel like I'm being kidnapped, a hand over there. I can't understand anything anyone says, you know. And forget going through a drive-thru. You can't understand a damn thing. You know, you got the terrible sound system coupled with the fact that there's cloth over the mud and a broken accent. So you've got these three things working against you at the time.
Yeah, so exactly.
What are you going to do?
Exactly, my brother.
And you can't see people's faces. There's so much to seeing someone's mouth move and smile and expressions.
You're absolutely right. You don't realize how much of communication, verbal communication, until you talk to somebody, and some of the intelligibility, if you don't understand what they're saying, you read them, you're subconsciously reading their lips.
It's
which
true.
I never thought about until this happened.
Yeah, and facial expressions. Wow. And then I felt my eyes are getting way stressed out because I'm just like always trying to express with my eyes because the mask is covering the rest of my face.
Right. Everybody starts looking like Marty Feldman.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, and real quick, too, Mark, with those videos, we've shared a few of them also on our page on Facebook and everything. And, dude, some of those things that you've done, I mean, wow, it's just some amazing work on that.
Well, thank you. Some of these, like the one with, I don't know if you saw the one with me and Mike Keneally, we did a Ravel Prelude that's just the two acoustic guitars.
Yes, we shared that one.
That was something that when I'd done the American Matador album, they had told me, you know, and Mike had learned the thing. We did it together. We were going to perform on the album until Warner Brothers says, look, you know, no, we don't want any other guitarists on the album. It's just you, the folks, it's you. And I was too green and naive to go, oh, well, no, I want it this way. I didn't have any weight at that point. So we did it, and I always felt bad about it. And I said, you know what? We got this downtime, so I called Mike, and I said, hey, what do you think about relearning this Ravel thing? And let's do it. Let's film it, you know. And he was totally into it. So he did it. Actually, his part, in my opinion, is way harder than my part because he's got these impossible chords that have no business being on a guitar because it's a piano piece, you know, when you've got 10 fingers. He's trying to do it with 5.
Right.
And he just did an amazing job. He's such an incredible player. And it was just fun for us to reconnect and to do this finally after all these years, you know. So, it's been nice. We've been doing a lot of stuff, working with a lot of different players. So.
Well, you guys did an amazing job on that, and kudos to both of you, Mark.
I'm proud of it. You know, I really am. And plus, you know, if you want to know where you are on the musical spectrum, go figure out some Ravel. That puts you right back down to the bottom, you know,
yes,
as far as sophistication, genius, all that stuff. When you really see somebody that did all this without Pro Tools, they sat at the piano and just had this in their head. It's amazing when you look at composers, especially guys like Ravel and Debussy and Vaughan Williams, all these people. Just incredible stuff, you know. Just
it's
humbling.
It made me want to, definitely humbling because it made me want to go back and go, hey, does anybody need a tech? You know, and if so, I got 20 guitars here that you can use, you know, that I'm not using anymore. So, all right, my friend. Well, let's dive into this thing here because I definitely wanted you in because I know how big of a Monkees fan you are.
Totally.
And real quick, can you retell the story when Mickey Dolenz played at the Mark and Brian show?
Yeah, well, it was like a big charge. You know, so you got to understand something. I still have all of my Monkey Spectaculars from Tiger Beat. You know, all the magazines that had like all the monkeys in it from when I was like 10. Uh-huh. I still have all of those. And then they're immaculate, you know, position. What happened one time is I went up to a paper. We used to have paper shacks. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember that. They were a place where people took their newspapers, right, for, to be told. So I was up there and throwing some newspapers away, and someone had thrown out an entire box of teen magazines. And I thought, my God, I've hit the mother load, you know. Wow. And I ran home and got my wagon, my radio flyer, and flew back up the street, loaded that thing in, and was like paranoid. Like, I just robbed the bank. Like, someone's going to find out what I have here, and they're going to knock me over and steal it. You know, I was like, all summer I read these magazines, and a lot of them were the Monkey Spectaculars,
right,
you know, that had, like, all this stuff in it. So having Mickey on the show was like a big deal, you know, for me. I was like, this is great. I get to play with one of the monkeys. And so, and he came in, and the funny thing was, you don't realize, and you got all these A-list musicians from L.A., jaded guys, right? But everybody is a fan of somebody's. Mm-hmm. And when these, you know, when Steve Porcaro and Ed Roth had they were playing keyboards, and I remember them fighting over who was going to play on I'm a Believer. They were like two kids fighting over, like, the last Twinkie cupcake, you know, whatever it was. And so I said, look, you guys are going to, here's what you're going to do. I had to intervene. We were never going to get anything done. I said, okay, one of you is going to do the, you know, we'll do the organ, bam, bam, bam. That'll be your part. The other guy will do the dun, da, 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 you know, the thing in the middle, the solo, uh-huh, you know, on piano, on electric piano. So they were fine with that. As long as one of them got to play one of the things, they were completely fine. And I didn't care, because I got to play Pleasant Valley Sunday on my guitar. So that was fine for me, you know. But he was such a sweetheart, and you know, it was just a joy to play with him.
Yeah,
you know? But it's funny how people get reduced to just fans, you know.
You do, especially when you meet certain idols like that. And matter of fact, you know, it's funny that you brought up Pleasant Valley Sunday. I actually finally learned to play that riff just like over the weekend myself. The week. So I'm like, oh my God, this is actually easier than what I thought. I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, got that open A, man. It's great. But it sounds great.
I love that story, though. Especially Porcaro fighting.
From everyone. But it didn't play with Mickey, you know. And it's like there's something that just comes out, you know, like when you meet a Beatle, you know, or you meet somebody like that. It's just, you know, you revert right back to how you were, you know, when you were a fan, back to a kid. It's just, it happened to John Lennon when he was sitting next to Chuck Berry on the Mike Douglas show. He could hardly keep his urine in.
Right.
He was just like, like squiggling around in the chair, like looking at Chuck, like it walks, it talks, it's real, you know. It's so funny. It's so funny. You see Eric Clapton with Carl Perkins on the Johnny Cash show, same thing. He was like a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You have somebody as your hero. You know?
Well, it's also like when Chuck Berry was trying to teach Keith Richards how to play Johnny Be Good, you know, and Keith was getting it wrong every single time.
Of course he was.
You know, and he's going, look, man, if you want to play it right, you got to play it like this.
Yeah.
I love the shot where Keith Richards is, like, turning around and just rolls his eyes, like, what the fuck am I doing here, you know?
Yeah.
So good.
Well, he's too busy being Keith Richards.
Exactly.
You know? I had an experience like that, too, but I won't tell you who it was. But,
All right. Well, let's dive into this whole thing here. And, Zach, you're going to be on page 3 over there for it. Because what we did was I kind of picked a certain songs from each album here. So this is the worst to best Monkey albums. And, again, I want you, Mark, on this because I know how big of a fan you are. And see if you agree with this list. And this is, again, the worst to best Monkeys albums ranked. This is by ultimateclassicrock.com. This is all 12 studio albums. So this includes everything from their first one to the most recent studio one, which is Good Times, which came out in 2016. So it's only those 12 studio albums here. It's written here, in decades since the Monkees first innovated pop culture, they never completely left. They just took the following list of the Monkees albums, ranked worst to best. Debuting in the fall of 1966, the Monkees launched with a TV show about a rock and roll band that crashed the party set in motion by the Beatles just a couple of years earlier. Soon that, the television group became a real band, quote, "It's like Leonard Nimoy actually becoming a Vulcan," end of quote, singer and drummer Mickey Dolenz famously noted, which led to one of the era's largest pop phenomenons. The show was canceled in 1968. The hits stopped coming a little bit, and by the end of the decade, the Monkees were pretty much over. They lived on Saturday morning reruns, syndication, and in the hearts of many fans. And in 1986, of course, MTV Marathon ran the program again, which led to the revival. So they've really never gone away. But members of the Monkees have often did perform, write, produce much of their own material, which has led to some of the great music over the years found on the Monkees albums. And here we go, ranked worst to best. Number 12. What would you put in that position, Mark?
Boy, I would have to see the entire list because, I kind of stopped. I was a huge Mike Nesmith fan. He was the guy. For some reason, I loved all of them. But for Mike, for some reason, I don't think it was necessarily just the sideburns and the wool hat. I think it was other things as well. He just seemed to be the one serious, like, musician type, you know, and so when Mike left, I just kind of went, it's like having, one of the Beatles leave. I wasn't following him so much after that. So as far as the albums go, the main albums that I had were like the first six.
Okay.
Up and through Head.
Okay, gotcha.
So the other ones after that, although I know some of the tracks with Instant Replay and some of those, I really wasn't listening, so I wouldn't be a good judge of that particular part of their.
Okay, all right. So we'll run through these then fairly quick then. So they said number 12 would be Pull It, which came out in 1987. So we're going to play a quick track here from that. And basically it says, hot on the heels of MTV-fueled revival, and highly successful tour, Mickey Dolenz, Peter Tork, Davy Jones were whisked into the studio to make a new album. Michael opted out. They said, sadly, Pull It is a product of an era which is dated production and failed to win over many new or old fans. One of the highlights, though, was a cover of Reckless Eric's Whole Wide World. But this is the single that they released called Heart and Soul. So it doesn't sound too bad, though. I've always liked this one. Okay, number 11 was 1996 Justice, and this was the first album that they came out with where, again, it was just the four of them since Headquarters. So it says the end results are mixed from this album. The stubby Michael Nesmith penned Admiral Mike, sung by Mickey, is one of the band's nastiest rockers, though. So that came out in 96. Okay, moving on. Number 10, they said, was Changes, which came out in 1970. So by this time, of course, they were down to a duo, Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz. And released the Changes. And, of course, they went, as I mentioned earlier, they went into the studio in September of that year to go in to do it. And this one is Oh My My, which was one of the singles released. Let's go ahead and crank that one a little bit there. My, my, I could love you forever. Oh, my, my, girl, you feel so good. You made my heart sing. You make my life. Moving on. So the next one they say here is The Monkees Present, is number 9. Hey, hey, mercy woman, of course, this one includes Michael Nesmith's Listen to the Band. Now, by this time, Peter Tork also was gone from the band. Weren't they good that made me happy? I think I can make it alone. All right. Oh, mercy, woman, plays a song. So, okay. And the next one is number 8, Instant Replay from 1969 also.
Some people always complain that they're lying.
So a lot of people feel that Instant Replay was a solid album that included no hits, but did feature some great songs written by Michael Nesmith, Mickey Dolenz, and Davy Jones. Neil Young even lends a hand for a killer solo on the song You and I. So what do you think? What do you think about that so far, Mark?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, as far as those particular ones, I know that on Instant Replay, I think the Girl I Left Behind Me was on that, mm-hmm. which is one that made the greatest hits. And then also there was one I think called We Love You, Shorty Blackwell. If I'm not mistaken,
yes, yeah, uh-huh. Shorty Blackwell, yeah.
He loved that song. I brought that up because God, I can't believe you wrote that song. I said, oh yeah, you know. So there were some good gems on that album, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so far you kind of agree with this so far, Mark?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right, so here we go. Number seven is Good Times.
I'll bring the chips and the dips and root beer, even though dark
the snare.
Clouds are near.
Yeah, this is called Bring on the Summer. Now, this is the Monkees' first album in 20 years, and first without the late Davy Jones, though he does get a song album on it, though. It's filled with great performances, captured the old spirit with new perspective. A few old recordings were woven seamlessly alongside brand new sessions to create an effect. Songwriting contributions by Andy Partridge, Noel Gallagher, and Paul Weller led the charge on this one. What did you think of that album, Mark? Did you get a chance to listen to that?
I did listen to some of it, yeah, and it was nice. Just I think just the fact that it had been so long since they'd put something out, you know, that it was great just to hear them again as a group,
mm-hmm.
even though Davey wasn't in it, you know. So, again, it's hard to compare this to the original fervor that they had generated with the first six albums, you know, in
right.
seven. It was, you know, we were all grown up, you know, in our adulthood at that point. So you see things differently than you did when you were young.
Right.
You know, so it's a hard thing to try and separate that line in between that, you know, because now I know how the songs are formed. I know how they're done. It's a little bit different now, you know. So.
Okay. All right. So we're halfway through. Here we are, number six, their debut album, The Monkees. So the band's debut album mixed garage band rocking with pure pop and even a dash of country. Though modeled after the Beatles in spirit, the group's sound and image was distinctly its own, with songs by Boyce and Hart, Goffin and King, and David Gates, as well as Michael Nesmith. The Monkees was more than just the soundtrack to a TV hit show. It started the pop phenomenon itself. Do you think that's where it should be, though, Mark, right in the middle?
Yeah, I think it's hard. It's either here or it's more of the Monkees. Both of those have about the same amount of clout, in my opinion. You have some great, you know, on the first one, you know, you had songs like Saturday's Child, I Want to Be Free, Tomorrow's gonna Be Another Day. There were some really great songs on that.
I love Saturday's Child, yeah.
You know, and, you know, there were a couple that were a little schmaltzy, like I'll Be True to You, I know, was kind of like, oh boy, he's quoting, okay.
Yeah.
But at least they followed that with Sweet Young Thing. You know, they rocked it back up again so the sugar levels could go down, you know. And then, of course, Gonna Buy Me a Dog was great. It was just, you know, Mickey and Davey just clowning around and
right.
all the stuff that was great. Track, you know,
okay.
So I don't know. It's. I would say, yeah, probably. Knowing what else is to come,
okay.
This would probably be. You know, I could switch this between this and more of the Monkees. You know,
well, you're right on target because according to them, yeah. number five is more
yeah.
of the Monkees.
More
of the Monkees.
Yeah, yeah. Because you had some great. You had Neil Diamond's. You know, Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow. You've got Sometime in the Morning, which is a beautiful.
Oh God.
You know. Did, you know, such a great song.
Mark,
you know,
but when the guys came out and did their tours, like the 20th anniversary or the 25th or the 30th, did you ever go out and
yeah.
see them?
Yeah, well, no, I had tickets and then I had a gig. So my wife went and she brought somebody with her because she was a huge Monkey fan too. So I was bummed because they were at the Greek, I think.
Yeah.
And I had a gig that came up that I couldn't turn down. And so it was like, damn, you know. But yeah, so I missed them.
Okay.
I really wanted to see them. But yeah, I heard it was great. So
yeah.
And Dave wasn't with them at the time. They did a tribute to him, I think. But he wasn't
okay,
there.
So it was more of the recent ones. Okay, I was fortunate enough to see all four when Michael did a surprise. But there was one tour.
Right.
There was one tour. I think it was their Here We Come Again tour, where they came out, and it was just Mickey on one side, Peter in the middle with an acoustic guitar, and then Davey on the other side, and they did acoustic versions of some of those songs, and one of them was Sometime in the Morning.
Yeah.
And to see it in that format was just so
beautiful. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. That's my favorite song off of that album. It just, I love that song. I just love how it opens up with that 12-string arpeggiation and just, or I don't think it was 12-string, actually. I think it's probably just Mike's Gretsch, but
okay.
It just sounds beautiful. It's just a beautiful song. You know?
So here we go. So again, once again, number five is More of the Monkees. It was released barely 3 months after the debut album. More of the Monkees went on to become the group's biggest album. It topped the charts for 9 weeks, and by year's end, the Monkees outsold the Beatles and Rolling Stones combined. Hits like I'm a Believer, I'm Not Your Stepping Stone, and She helped make this the biggest selling album of 1967. That's amazing. Okay, number four. Seven. Where do you think this one lands?
Which one
Okay, don't get excited, man.
I would say, I know what my favorite one, I would say it's probably The Birds, the Bees, and the Monkees.
You're absolutely right. The Monkees' fifth album is a brave mix of styles that not only includes Daydream Believer, the group's last number one single, but also many of their best deep tracks, psychedelia, country, 20s style, pop, and somewhat freeform freak out side by the side in harmony. The album closes with the anti-war song Zor and Zam, one of the period's best. So,
yeah. No, it was great, and I remember it was a really cool thing. The one thing that bummed me out was the fact that Valerie was not the version that was on the single. If you listen to that, it's a different version of it. It's a little bit less energy. And also ends with bum 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 bum. Ends with the brass. It's not a fade out. It's a cold ending.
Right.
And I was bummed about that because the original had a lot more power to it. Davey's where he says "Come on" is completely different because we tend to focus on those little things. but it was cool because Magnolia Sims was a great song. It's, you know, because it skips in the middle. They made it skip. Don't you remember that? It was like on one of the words, and then you hear the needle rips and then hits twice and then comes back. I thought it was a great idea. You know, there was some very cool stuff in the song. And, of course, Zor and Zam was great. Such an amazing thing. And Dream World was a great song, too. You know, a lot of real interesting stuff on there. I really enjoyed that album.
Yeah, and what's really interesting, too, is their first four albums that they released all were multi-platinum number one hits.
Uh-huh.
The first four, that was just amazing. I mean, to talk about, you know, bringing in Donnie Kirshner to say, hey, if you want to outsell the Beatles, he definitely helped them do that, absolutely.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
Okay, so here we are now down to the top three. What do you think number three is going to be, Mark?
I think it's probably going to be Head.
You're absolutely right again, buddy. Look at you, man. What a show-off he is, isn't he? The Monkees' big screen adventure Head flopped at the box office, and its soundtrack failed to ignite the charts, but time has been on side for both the film and the LP. It includes only six tracks, but some of the Monkees' best are here. The Porpoise Song, Circle Sky, my favorite, As We Go Along.
As We Go Along, I'm totally with you there. I got to tell you, man, that song to me, if I had 10 songs to take with me to the next planet, that would be one of them.
Okay.
I absolutely love that song.
Let's crank it a little bit and put it in Mark's phone a little bit so he can hear it too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
such a beautiful song.
You know, and it was cool for me because I, when Mickey was on, when we were at rehearsal, during in between, I started playing that song, and he goes, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, this is one of my favorite songs of all time. So we started singing it. It was a very cool thing. We got to like share that for a minute. And
oh, dude,
what's cool about it is the fact that it's in 5/4 time in a lot of it. It's like it's not 4/4 or 3/4. It's 5/4.
Wow.
If you listen to it, there's a lot of odd signatures in there, and he sings over the top of it like you don't even know that it's odd. And it's just a beautiful, simple song, and you've got the da 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 bum ba da. You got that great flute line in there, and,
yeah.
And you know, and in the movie, it's great because Mickey's just walking through the countryside. It's a perfect. It's just a perfect song. I absolutely love that song.
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite Monkey song. As a matter of fact, it's very close to being my first.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, buddy.
Love that song.
It's definitely in there, and. Let me tell you one thing. I don't know if you know, but of course, back in 1987, 86, 87, of course, Blonner and with the help of Burt Rafelson and Burt Schneider and Bob Rafelson, they decided to do everything all over again with the new Monkees. And I don't know how you felt about that or not.
Explain that again.
Sure.
Doing what over
it? Doing the Monkees all over again. And because in 86, 87, there came out the new Monkees and, you know, four new guys and everything and so forth. And I'll tell you, I'm friends with all four of the guys myself. They're all great guys, but they will tell you first off, the script sucked, number one. But the music was, I think, for the time being. It was still very, very good music of what they picked for their album. Fortunately enough, last year, I think it was, about a year and a half ago or so, Marty Ross of the New Monkees calls me up and says, Sean, you know the thing that we're going to be doing with Mickey next month? And I said, yeah. He goes, would you mind doing the sound for us? And I said, dude, I would be honored. You know?
Yeah.
And so I took my Personas desk out there and everything, and we mic'd the guys up, and it was semi-acoustic and everything, and I was able to record 16 tracks live. And earlier in the evening, though, there was some fans there to have dinner with Mickey that they paid for and stuff. But then the new Monkees had gotten together for the first time in so many years. It was their 30th anniversary. And it was trying to bridge the two worlds of the new and the old and saying, hey, these guys were picked by the same people that created the new ones, you know?
Yeah.
And Mickey Dolenz came on and performed with the guys. And I'm recording this, dude. And I'm just sitting there off to the side, you know, watching it from the whatever little wing we had in this club, because it was a small little club. It was the Pick and Whistle in Hollywood upstairs. So you know how small that place is.
Yeah.
And and I'm sitting there and I'm just watching it, and my son is standing to me to the right, and I go, "You realize you're watching history right now, right?" He goes,
"Yeah.
Absolutely, I am." And to finally get approval after all these years, you know, to say, hey, you know, they're part of the Monkey family, too, because only 8 guys can be called Monkees.
Right.
You know, just an amazing thing to watch, though, and to
That's
see
great
them.
That you were able to be there for that.
Yeah, and to see them perform with Mickey and everything, and for Mickey to finally give, hey, yeah, these are part of our family members, too, you know.
Yeah,
it was really
that's
neat.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
Very cool.
It was really neat. So, okay, we're down to number 2 and number 1.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which one do you think it is?
Well, I'm going to go with what my sentiments are. I don't know if it's the public sentiments, but I would put Headquarters next.
Dude, you are what, 4/4 right now?
Well, I'm going to be 4/5 if this is right.
Yeah. Headquarters is number 2. After relying on session musicians for the first 2 albums, the Monkees became a real band. For the first note to last, headquarters is the sound of the Monkees providing themselves a genuine rock and roll band. Among the highlights with Mickey Dolenz penned Randy Scrouse Git, Peter Torx for Pete's Sake, which became the closing theme to the show's second season. The album hit number one, but was knocked out by the following week by those damn foreigners, the Beatles, with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it was a beautiful song on there with Shades of Grey.
Oh.
Gorgeous song. Absolutely exquisite song. Probably the best song on the album as far as just production and thematic heft and all of that. It was just beautiful. But what's great, too, was you just made me the one is great. And for Pete's sake, it's great. Do you know the story why that name?
I know Pete wrote it, but I'm trying to remember who he wrote it for, though.
Well, it wasn't that. Peter wrote the song, and they weren't going to put it on the album, right? And he says, if you don't put it on the album, I quit. I'm quitting the Monkees. So he forced their hand, which is why it's called, well, this is on here for Pete's sake. That's called for Pete's sake, is because he threatened to quit. Yeah.
At that time period. Wow. That's a good story.
And it was a great song. And it was one of those, this was the same thing that happened with the Beatles. Remember the Beatles cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay. On the second season of the Beatles, they came out with "And Your Bird Can Sing" was the theme song. It had them coming in on a balloon, like a hot air balloon. And the thing was that we didn't know what that, or I didn't know what the song was, because in America, the Capitol, in their infinite greed and avarice, would steal songs from the Parlophone 14 song albums to make their own albums here, like "Yesterday and Today." There was never a Beatle album that they released called Yesterday Today. There was never a one called The Early Beatles. There was never one called Beatles 65. They would steal tracks from there. Right. And Your Bird Can Sing was not on Revolver. It was supposed to be, and it was in the English version, but not here. So when that song came out, I was like, what is this song? I've never heard this song. What a great song. And it was the same way with For Pete's Sakes, is the end credits of the second season. I loved that song. And I didn't know what it was, you know, just one of those things where I hadn't heard it yet. And when I finally got headquarters, well, that's the song. That's the one that they use, you know.
Yeah.
And it's great because Mickey completely shanks the vocal at the end, you know, on the fade out.
Oh, yeah.
When he's saying "To Be Free," he completely cracks. And they left it in, which he navigates it down to where he has to go. It was a very valiant recovery. But the fact that they left it in, I loved it. It's my favorite part of the song.
I know.
It's just on the fade out, but it's such a great song. It's a great album too. The fact that they did everything themselves, fine, you know, it's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorites is the one that Nesmith penned. We just played it right
now. Sunny Girlfriend?
No, not Sunny Girlfriend. Zach, hold down the button for headquarters. Just hold it down, and it's gonna. You Just May Be the One.
Yeah.
That's love
a
that
great song.
It's such a simplistic song as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Great bass line. That way it comes in. It's very cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, holy cow, you know. And it's just one of those very simplistic ones. And I was talking to John Jorgensen. I'm sure you're aware of
him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talking to John one time. And I found out that he played with Nez up in a festival in Portland, Oregon. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And he said, we're actually going to be doing a tribute to Papa Nez. And I said, well, what song are you doing? He goes, You Just May Be the One. And I said, oh, off of Headquarters? He goes, well, you must be a Monkees fan then. And I'm like, dude, like, you wouldn't believe, you know?
Yeah.
And he did a very good job of recreating that song.
Oh, great. You know? When it's a love like it, it's a labor of love, then you do want to do justice to it. You know, it's very important because you remember how it was when you heard it. That's the thing about redoing songs. You know, you have to remember that you don't have to do it just like they did it, but you have to do it so that when you redo a song, it's really the reflection of the emotionality that you had when you heard that song. That's what you want to have in your version, how you felt about that song when you first heard it. And that's an important factor. And I'm sure he probably did that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. Yeah. All right, my friend. So here we are. Number one, make it six for six, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think it is?
It's Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones LTD is what that is.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
Winner.
It's an amazing record. Amazing record. From start to finish. There isn't a weak spot on.
The band's fourth album in little more than a year takes the template of their previous record and self-contained headquarters and adds a couple of extra players to flesh out the sound. The result is the Monkees' best LP. Pop, psychedelia, country, and rock and roll dominate. But Quises, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones LTD also feature the first use of the Moog synth on a pop record. Outbeating the Beatles. The result is the Monkees' definitive effort, first-rate material from inside to outside of the band, including Michael Nesmith's Daily Nightly and the Jerry Goffin, Carole King classic Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a phenomenal and Paul Beaver, I think, was the one that did the synth on Daily Nightly. I think he was the Moog guy who went on to do records with Bernie Krause. Bernie Krause, some phenomenal stuff. But I mean, Salesman is great. Dorian to Summer is probably the one that will share the number one spot with As We Go Along. I love that song. It's such a beautiful arrangement, and Chip Douglas plays his ass off on bass.
Oh, yeah, he did.
It's such a beautiful, the lyric is great, and Mike sings it great. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. I'm tired of listening to that song. It's great. And then he goes, kicks right into Love Is Only Sleeping, which again is in 7. So they were doing some prog stuff back then. Nobody knew it.
Right.
You know. Right. You know, and then you've got What Am I Doing Hanging Around, which is such a great country.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, kicking song. So great.
And I love the banjo part, that whoever played it, whether it was Peter or not, you know, I don't care. That banjo in it was just phenomenal.
It's perfect, yeah. And then, of course, Pleasant Valley Sunday. Don't Call on Me is another one. And it was great because Kevin Gilbert and I went up to the Elegant Pump Room at the Palmer House High above Chicago. We were actually sitting in there thinking of this song, you know, because at the beginning, that's what Mickey says. He goes, now from the Palmer House High above Chicago, asking that
question. Yeah.
You know. Yeah, and then it starts with something that sounds very much like Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying. Same, you know, the same kind of C major 7 to F major 7. But it was one of Mike's early songs that he did when, I think he was called, like when he wrote A Different Drum. I think this was one of those early songs that he wrote when he first came to L.A. or he was still in Texas. And so they rekindled it and put it on the record, which I'm glad, because it's such a great song.
Now, did you know that Michael actually performed Different Drum on one of the episodes?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. I'll have to email it to you. I can't remember the name of the episode. I'm sure some of the Monkees fans, because we made sure that told people on the podcast Zilch and the new Monkees Facebook page that we were going to be talking about this today also. One of the episodes where Davy Jones goes to try and help this little, well, not this little girl, but this other gal become her partner in singing. And the mother tries to basically tear away Davy Jones from the Monkees. And in the episode, Mickey does his impression thing. Peter is a very poorly done magician. And Mike comes out very nervously and does like a speed metal version of Different Drum.
Wow. Wow.
And it's the first time that that song is ever on the, ever associated with the Monkees, basically, you know, or considered a Monkees song. So, but if you have the DVDs or whatever, I'll let you know what episode it is. I'll email it to you.
Yeah, let me know whichever. I'd love to see that. I didn't even recall that was there. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So now comes the big question, Mark. A lot of people have been advocating for it and everything. I know many fans want them there. Do you think they deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, yeah, without a doubt. They, you know, it's, look, it doesn't matter, you know, I know that Kirshner was painting this picture like, you know, the Beatles and it was this thing, but they did create the music. I mean, whether or not, you know, look, you have players, you have other singers and players in there that have other musicians come in to do session work on an album. It doesn't make, it doesn't diminish the impact of a band or of a singer. You know, you have, you know, you got guys like James Brown, you've got so many people, they had a whole band, you know, what's different about session players, you know, than, you know, than, as opposed to like the regular guys that were, you thought were playing, it doesn't matter. They did sing them and they did eventually write them and perform them. So to right. me, yeah, there should be no doubt that they should be in the Hall of Fame. Not without a doubt. They've made a massive impact and contributed such wonderful music to that generation. There's no doubt. Especially seeing some of the people that actually have made it in there. It's like, are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, so, yes, absolutely, 100%. They should be in there.
Mark, why do you think, because, I mean, everybody was using the Wrecking Crew at the time. I mean,
yeah.
The Beach Boys, Sonny and Cher, the Birds,
yeah.
the Turtles
yeah.
were using them. Why yeah. do you think the Monkees got singled out? Do you think it was it because of the TV show, or?
Well, I think it was because they originally were portrayed as, you know, because yes, it was because of the TV show, because they showed them playing their own, they playing the instruments on the show, miming to the tracks, you know. So they left off. You know, the session players off the first. They didn't start listing them until I believe it was either Headquarters was definitely Pisces is when they, you know, the fourth album, they started listing the players that were on there.
Right.
The guys like Glenn Campbell and others that were on the albums. So I think that the impression was that they were playing all of their own stuff, writing. You know, I don't think there was any question about who was writing the stuff, because Voice and Heart was getting just as much recognition from the get-go on the first album, as you know, so that wasn't an issue. I think it was the fact that they just, I think the public was made to believe that they were performing their own stuff because you saw them do it on the show. But in reality, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't matter. It's the impact and the influence that the music had. And so that's why I don't think, you know, if people are holding it against them, they don't, they call them the Prefab Four and all this, because I think it was the intention. But I think they surpassed the intention, and of course they hated that image. You know, they wanted it, which is one of the reasons why they blew it up with 33 and a third Revolutions Per Monkey, which aired.
Right.
It basically completely destroyed, you know, their image, because they were tired of it as much as the public was.
Yeah.
You know, they signed on, but it became this other thing, and then, you know, all the rebellion that they, you know, they were putting them in a black box and, you know, keeping them in like you know, animals in a cage. So they objected to it as much as the public did when they found out. So, you know, but the fact is that they did create this stuff. You look at Headquarters, there's, you know, it's a great record. That was three records in. That was only the third record that was released. So they didn't hold the facade for too long, because the first two albums came out relatively quickly.
Yeah, so, yeah, 3 months apart, you know, from each other.
Yeah, so it really doesn't make much sense to hold any kind of animosity about it. You know, and there was plenty of stuff that they did afterwards that they were great. You know, some of the best albums came out after they were so-called outed. You know, it
right.
doesn't matter. Like you say, the Beach Boys is a good example of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and Mark, I just want to thank you for joining us, man, and getting your perspective on it, too, as a fan and as a fellow musician also. I hope you had fun doing this with us, my friend.
I did. It was such a great, and that's actually, it was funny, because the Monkees were what put Kevin Gilbert and I together, because we were on the Keith Emerson session. He didn't know who I was. Keith brought me in, and I remember we went out to dinner, and I was talking about the fact that I like stuff dry and present, which apparently Kevin did too. And I said, because otherwise everything starts to sound like the end of Pleasant Valley Sunday. And he starts laughing. I went, okay. And he goes, I swear to God, he says, I use that example too. I said, you're shitting me. He says, no, Dave, I've used that example exactly. You're into the Monkees? I said, oh, dude. And that was our bond. The bond
wow.
was the Monkees. That's what got us talking together. We were huge Monkee fans. As a matter of fact, in Toy Matinee, we did a section of Zilch. We started, you know, in the middle of Turn It On Salvador, we broke down and did, you know, Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. And then we started to rephrase, to, you know, like no more notes until I get a paycheck. You know, we did stuff like that just to vary it.
Oh my God.
But yeah, we were huge. You know, that's what we would warm up with vocally backstage was Monkey Songs, Kevin and I.
That is funny. I never knew that. God bless Kevin, man.
Oh, yeah. Massive Monkey fans, both of us. Gentle Giant and the Monkees, man, were our two binding bands, you know. So isn't that interesting?
That's funny. That is funny, brother. Well, you know, Mark, I can't thank you enough for joining us on this and everything, buddy. You've been a wonderful friend to this program. I really appreciate it. And when this whole COVID-19 thing blows over, dude, we still got to get to that damn Mexican restaurant and have ourselves some good Mexican food.
Right, and I know the one too. I've got the one there because Arco Iris is gone. They pulled up stakes, but there's a good one out in San Fernando called Los Tres Hermanos. That's very, very good. So yes, let's do that.
We got to do it, brother. I promise I wasn't going to flake on it. I'm still going to hold myself to that.
No,
promise.
We're going to do it. It's going to taste so good too, for more than one reason.
Awesome, my brother.
Yeah, well, listen. Thanks for having me on. This was fun talking about these guys, man. I just, you know, they're so ingrained into my DNA, you know, after all these years. I never get tired. I always have a Monkees greatest hits, you know, playlist in my iPod and the whole thing. I just, they're phenomenal. And so I'm glad you guys gave them the props and the time. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much, Mark, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good, buddy. Okay, you guys stay safe. We'll talk soon.
You too. Thanks, take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
How cool was that, though?
I mean, learned. Really I just cool. was, I was sitting here absorbing... And I was like, oh, I know this song. Oh, that's there are several of them. I was like, oh, that's the Monkees. I didn't know it was that.
Isn't that amazing when that happens?
Yeah, and then hearing about the albums and I learned a lot.
It was amazing.
Did you learn a lot, Steve?
Or did you go back? Did you go back in time?
I went back in time.
Did you?
I did. Oh my God! Because I remember. My very first album I ever owned was Meet the Beatles when it came out. Uh-huh. And I was like totally into the Beatles and I loved it. And then I started watching the Monkees show because it came on. I had read or heard about how it happened, how they were, you know, they all auditioned and stuff. And I was like, well, I wonder what that's going to be like. And it was silly, which I kind of like silly.
Mm-hmm.
But the music was commendable. It was like... Yeah. Everything, pretty much everything they did was something that I enjoyed listening to. And so it made a spot inside my mind for that music to be next to where the Beatles were. Mm-hmm. And it's telling the fact that at times they outsold the Beatles.
Yeah.
That's how big they got. People don't realize how big that was. The Beatles had...
They were huge!
Several number one songs... All at the same time.
The Beatles
and
were the Beatles.
Well,
I
mean, you know.
I hate to be meta, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, is that also, I mean, you have to realize, too, there was at one point when the Beatles came out, they held the number one, the number two, the number three, the number four, and the number five spot on Billboard magazine.
Mm-hmm. When? What year?
It was astounding.
You know, I mean, we're talking, what, 66, 65, 66, somewhere in there, you know. And, I mean, no one has ever done that before. And now here comes this American version of it, you know, which was a TV show, basically. And it comes out and, you know, and I have a love-hate with Donnie Kirshner. And we can talk more about that later on. You'll figure out why. But he did set out and said, if you want to outsell the Beatles, we can do it.
Wow.
I've got the right songwriters and everything else or whatever. Let's put this together, you know, and that's what happened.
Wow,
it was just one of those times where they did something in a way that doesn't normally work that well, but they got four guys who made it work better,
and they had to act like they've known each other and have been each other's best friends. Wow. You've got two true musicians with no acting experience at all whatsoever. You've got two actor singers. Mm-hmm. Who couldn't play an instrument to save their lives. Well, except Mickey. Mickey learned to play guitar because he was in a band when he was younger, though. But, I mean, you actually had two singers, two musicians, you know, and the singers were actors also. For Mickey Dolenz has always said, for me, it was just another acting job.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was, you know. And how he got picked to be the drummer was that they said, okay, guys, we need to figure out who's going to play what instrument. Mike, Peter, and Davey all took one step back, and there was Mickey left to stand.
Oh, my goodness.
So they said, okay, guys, what do you oh, Mickey, you're volunteering? No,
I'm whoops. And he turns around.
Like, yeah, and the other three guys have stepped back, you know.
They threw him under the bus.
They pretty much did. It was obvious Davey Jones couldn't do it. He was too short, you know.
Excuse me?
He was too short.
What did that have to do with anything?
I didn't stutter. Stutter.
But y'all say that.
But no, I mean, it was something miraculous that came together. And like I said earlier, for their 20th anniversary, it exploded all over for them. So the Monkees really have never gone away. And that's the amazing thing, where the Beatles, the last thing they put out was like Free as a Bird, which was something very unique in because it was an old tape that John Lennon had. Mm-hmm. And the other three got together and were able to do this one song. These three to four guys have constantly put out an album. I mean, the last album came out, and I'm talking about the original, whatever. Mm-hmm. It came out in 1970, okay? The next one after that came out in 1987.
Wow.
Okay.
17 years there.
So, right, okay. So then after that, you've got, what, Justice that came out then in 1996, and then you had Good Times come out in 2016. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Every 12 years they come out with an album, you know. But in between that, you've had some live stuff. And there is a brand new live Monkees album with the last two remaining Monkees, Mike and Peter, Mike and Mickey, because Peter passed away recently also. That's where I was going with that. And the thing is that has gotten great reviews. Because they show you with the age of these guys that they're still going strong, and the musicianship from the band and from them themselves is spot on, and how well these songs still hold up.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
It's like one of those deep fan questions. Okay, so with the Grateful Dead, deadheads prefer the really nerdy musician ones. They prefer all of the live shows, and they categorize them. Mm-hmm. And they have like, oh, this is my favorite live show for this reason, and this song, and this. It's like a huge thing for the live. Do the Monkees have a similar thing? Like very specific live shows that were like quintessential to listen to.
I would say this. Periods. I would say this. The live shows that were, I think, extremely special. Mm-hmm. Were the ones where Michael Nesmith joined them on the 20th anniversary tour. Because here they are celebrating 20 years of being in the industry. Everything fell in line in the stars for them. It so happened MTV had dropped and did a marathon of the TV show. It was at that time that the tour was announced. But it was works in the prior before MTV did anything. It just happened to propel it. And then the tour comes out. So Mike did do a couple of spots here and there. I was there for one of them. So as a fan, mm-hmm. to see Mike come out and see all four and have all four of them do the walk, mm-hmm. that Monkees walk, whatever, off the stage and everything, to have Mike sing Listen to the Band, you know, that was the treat.
Gotcha.
Basically,
so that's your live album.
And I think since Davey's passing, and ironically Davey was the youngest of the four of them and the first one to go, so to Mike now, and they had been talking about all four of them going back out again, because Mike was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And they did something in England. They did like 12 shows or something like that in England. And then Mike quit. And I don't know what it was or, you know, what have you. But now I think since Davey's passing, and especially since Peter's passing, he's really welcomed back open to, I can't deny it, I'm a Monkee.
Yeah.
I really can't. And he can't believe how many fans are still out there and go, are you guys idiots or something? You know, kind of thing, you know. And I think he's overwhelmed with that now. And when we interviewed him, and you could ask Steve, I mean, I was nervous as hell. You know,
yeah. Because, I can imagine.
Yeah. Not just because as a fan, because I knew at times how difficult of an interviewer he could be. And it was the complete opposite of that. And I was so grateful for that. It was very, very open about his music and what he did. And he even turned the tables on me and started asking me questions. Like, well, you play too, right? And da-da-da. And what happened? I'm like, yeah, what do you play? Well, I play this. And da-da-da. I'm like, wait a minute. Why are you asking me questions?
We're interviewing you.
You know, yeah. But it was so nice to see, to have that side of Mike Nesmith, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think now with Davey's passing, and especially now with Peter's passing, to have Mike there to sing his songs and go deeper into the catalog, I think is even more of a treat, you know.
Very cool.
Where they didn't do that before. They kind of did the hits, you know, or whatever, which was great, you know. But if you're doing tour after tour after tour, you've got all these other albums, you know, that you've done and everything.
Yeah, and then fans like the deep stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, when they came out and did these...
The B-sides, if you will.
Exactly, exactly. And when they came out and did stuff acoustically, and it was just Peter on acoustic, and they all took turns singing these different songs. Oh my gosh, that, you know, that was a wet dream right there. You know, and I think it was those special moments that made me like, wow, they're doing this song or they're doing that song that they probably haven't done live in 40 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the cool part about it.
What do they call Monkees fans?
Crazy people.
No. Keys.
Well, you know, you have a dead head. What's a monkey?
No, we're just Monkee fans.
Monkee fans.
We're just Monkee fans.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do they come up with the name Monkees? I've always wondered that. The Beatles and the Monkees.
I don't remember how they came up with it. I'll have to go back
Monkey
and look.
Trump's Beatles? No?
Nah, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look because there's a fellow by the name of Eric Levowitz that wrote The Monkey's Tale, which really depicts the whole story of everything, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. And
the T-A-I-L or the T-A-L-E?
Both.
Oh, yeah. It's a pun.
It's a pun. But you know, he really tells a good story about it and everything, and how there's even two versions of it. Because you have to look at it from the production side of the TV show and the actual four guys themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and what has transpired since and everything and so forth. But it was really, really good, though. So, but I hope everybody enjoyed that, though.
That was a lot of fun.
Listen to a playlist of some greatest hits.
I'll
have to edumacate myself.
I'll get
further.
You all of them. And there's even more deeper cuts on the Missing Link albums too.
Oh,
there's three of those.
You got those fan deep cuts.
Deep cuts.
Monkees.
Yeah, baby. Exactly. All right. Well, let's get out of here.
I just have one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
If Steve. I can add,
sure, buddy.
You know, we were reading texts and stuff from listeners. I actually got a text from listener Debbie.
Oh, Deb.
In the show. Yeah. Hey, Deb. She's kind of funny. She says, hey, I love the show, but I have this feeling.
Uh-oh.
I hate you guys. I hate you because I don't get anything done from 10 to 12 every Saturday morning.
So, oh, Deb.
We are glad to hear that.
So, I
hugs
hate
and
you.
Kisses back at you, Debbie.
Love you, Deb. Absolutely.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I say it to my kids all the time now.
All right, should we play the game real quick?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go for it real quick.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Just making time.
The game show that's sweeping the nation faster than the coronavirus. Quiz me. Quiz you.
You. Thank you, Imitation Brian.
That never gets
Brian Seacrest, God!
Question number one. Hold on, let me get a little... Okay.
Yeah, it would be the first one.
Shut up. In 1951, Howard Hawks produced The Thing. Who directed the 1982 remake with Kurt Russell?
Oh, my God.
Kurt Russell was in that.
Yes.
Carpenter.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Steve.
Yes?
It was... Carpenter.
Sean after Steve.
Sean after Steve. I need a little more than just Carpenter.
I can't get his first.
It's too late.
Say Carpenter's Richard.
Say Richard.
The thing.
Say Richard.
Richard Carpenter. That's not it.
Sean.
That would be John Carpenter.
That is correct.
John, there you
did
go.
You watch? I was watching. Steve's,
I didn't have
Steve's
it.
Steve's gray matter was like unfolding, unfurling. I was like, he was like, oh God.
Well, I knew it's Carpenter. His name's in the title. That's the title of the movie. John Carpenter's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Of course, Richard Carpenter is.
Richard Carpenter is
Karen Carpenter's brother. Yeah, for the Carpenters.
That's
cool.
Different.
Question number two. Action movie legend Chuck Norris formerly starred in which television program?
Sean. Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's too easy, isn't it?
I forgot the name of it, but I was going to say Texas something.
Was it Kung Fu? I'll tell you that.
No, it wasn't, but this is question number three. Which TV show featured a mom who was a lawyer married to a dad who was a doctor?
Sean. The Cosby Show.
Very good.
Dang it! You're on a friggin' roll today.
God, I know. He might even get the next question number four.
We might be...
Sean, the monkeys.
I think they're bamboozling us. I think they've prearranged this. Oh.
What is the name of Harry Potter's...
Steve.
Oh, my gosh.
Sean.
Harry Potter's what?
Steve.
I was trying to see what it was you were trying to say. I was going to say Hedwig, but
owl.
That's not it. No, it wasn't it.
I was going to say the owl, too. I thought Hedwig's the owl, yeah.
I think it was...
Wife?
Okay,
oh, shit.
Sean after Amber.
Steve after that.
I can see her face. Oh. I can't remember her name. Who he gets married to.
Well, her maiden name... is Weasley.
Weasley.
Her first name is Jenny.
That is correct.
Weasley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Question.
I know what love is, Jenny.
Oh, that's a different movie.
I'm not a smart man, but I know question number five.
That was good.
Which is not one of the most popular Halloween costumes?
Which is not?
It is not. Okay. Your clue is it is comic book hero related.
It's not?
It is not. And it is DC Comics, not Marvel.
It's the one I don't like.
We all know that.
Not a popular one. Not
Sean?
Sean.
I'm going to say the Punisher.
Punisher is Marvel.
Oh, is it Marvel?
No. DC is what we're looking for.
Steve.
It was...
Oh my God! It was just in my head, and then it's gone.
Water.
It's not
water. His brain's unfolding again. Oh my God! Keep it in his ears.
Oh, it burns!
Ben Affleck played it.
That is incorrect. It is not Batman.
Oh. No, not Batman.
Yeah, that's who Ben Affleck played.
No, he played...
Are you talking about Daredevil?
Yeah.
Once again,
is that Daredevil?
Not Marvel. Not Marvel.
Yeah, Daredevil's Marvel.
Not Marvel.
It's a DC comic book character.
The answer may surprise you. Does everyone give up?
Yeah.
The lantern.
The answer is Superman.
Oh, really? Superman. I thought that'd be popular.
The Superman costume is not usually associated with Halloween. It is rarely worn during the festivities. That's a kind
okay.
of a, all right,
so
I guess.
To the 5,000 12-year-old kids and under, I know.
I guess. Whoa. Question number six. Actor Matt LeBlanc was a star.
Steve.
Steve.
Friends.
That is correct. That was too easy.
I don't know if you really want to
call
him the star.
By the way, did you hear Mark Bonilla at the very beginning? He goes, how are you doing? He had that, I was like, dang, say that again. How you doing? He had that deep.
Hey, how you doing?
That was question number seven.
Well, that was close. That was no Mark Bonilla, though.
No, it wasn't. Mark can kick my ass in playing guitar, so I'll tell you that right now.
He
does it left-handed.
Okay. Here we go.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
No, what?
Go ahead. Sorry.
How many countries does the United Kingdom comprise of? Excuse me.
Or compromise.
I'm only compromise.
Who do they compromise?
How many countries are in? Is in?
Yes. How many countries
are in
United Kingdom?
Sean.
Four.
Wow, that is correct.
I was going to say, I was counting my hands.
England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland.
There we go.
England, Wales, Take that, Scotland. Bitch.
Yeah, of course. Number.
The Irish.
Oncology focuses on what diseases?
Amber. Cancer.
Well, that is correct. I don't even know why we do it.
Look at that. Amber's like,
well, why are you feeling your boobs?
Because this is what, remember I had to deal with this crap, unfortunately.
Can I feel
remember
something?
Remember when you tell everybody that you saw my boob and you just saw a giant bandaged orb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of like, you know when you go to a hotel and you see the bell that you ring? It kind of looked like that, but not metallic.
But it was completely bandaged up.
It's like
we could start a band.
Like she showed me, Amber showed me, I just wanted to go, hello.
Yeah. Giant bandaged orb.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was all bandaged up. He's like, I saw your boob. I'm like, no, you saw bandages.
I saw question number 9.
I just like the way her hand goes around her boob when she does that, though.
Never mind.
They fit her hands perfectly.
That's why I got them.
Yeah.
If they can't, never mind. Anyways, let's say number 9.
Go ahead, Jay.
How many breaths?
I'm blushing.
Does the average human take in one day?
Oh my gosh. It's going to be in the thousands.
30. Oh, it's definitely in the thousands.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking like,
what, you thought it was going to be like minutes. A couple hundred a day?
No, I'm thinking of minutes.
Oh, she's doing math.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
I'm not.
Carry the 4.
Not today.
Go ahead. Do the math.
You know what? I'm going to pass on this.
Carry the 3.
6.
Amber minus poop.
Steve. 6,800. Somewhere in there.
That was an answer? No.
I don't know if I had to take some breaths. I'm like, when you mention things like that, you know, you have to do it. You're like, oh, you're conscious of it all of a sudden. Yeah. I'm going to do some math.
All right. What is it?
Oh, we're just going to give up?
Yeah.
It is 23,000.
Whoa.
I
thought
he got one.
I
was going to say about 20,000.
I think you take like 40 a minute, 40 breaths maybe. I can't remember. I'll have to do it. Never mind.
On to the next question.
Final question. Make it an easy one. Which U.S. interstate highway is the longest?
Steve. 80.
No.
Oh, shoot. It goes down and down and... Amber is...
I like how it goes down and down.
She's got too much down on her mind.
Amber, it's not 75, is it? No? Oh, 65? No. Is there a 5 in it?
Sean?
Sean.
Route 66?
Damn. Okay, Interstate 1.
Amber.
Interstate
Amber.
2.
The 5? Okay, that's important. I don't know.
Interstate it's got to go east to west.
I think it goes from... There's a couple...
For the longest interstate highway?
Yeah, because there's one that goes from...
There to there?
Up on the west coast, it goes down and it goes across Mexico to like...
Yeah, but that goes into another country.
Somewhere.
Though.
But it's still the same highway.
And I was thinking when I drove from Vegas to Ohio, I take like like stair stepping.
Oh, really?
So
I take the dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Okay, obviously we have no idea.
Yeah,
all right,
so what is it?
Tell us.
Interstate 90.
90?
What it says. Look at the answer.
Wait, where is 90? What's 90?
90.
Isn't that Imperial Highway?
What?
Wait.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah. 90 is the one that... It
comes after 89.
No, where the 91, the 91 is Artesia, and then the next one down is 90.
So how far does this go? We look this up.
I don't know.
Who knows? We'll find out.
You
probably
won.
Goes to Boston.
It goes to Boston.
Yeah. That's where they park the car in the yard.
Yeah. Wicked awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I had fun. I think Amber learned an awful lot.
I did. I learned a lot of things today. Today was like my brain's also unfurling. My gray matter is like...
Awesome. And Steve, I know, just recalled his 20s, basically.
No, I was a teenager.
Were you really?
Yeah.
How old were you in 67?
17. I graduated from high school in June of 67. Still 17 years old.
Okay. So, yeah, they had just come out in 66, 67. Yeah. So, yeah, you're probably flipping back and forth between the Monkees and the Beatles then.
yeah, it was just something more
right
to enjoy.
Yeah.
And really, really like it. So.
And watch them on TV every week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Throw it away. Cool. Like I did that. Like I did my
I'm going to back. Here we go. I'm going to throw it behind me. Ready? Nothing?
Oh, hey, so.
For the assist.
And looks like he could play for the Lakers. All righty, guys. The show's website, yourweeklydose.com.
I was throwing paper away.
Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
You can find me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva, and on Twitter, at silvalining69.
Do you tweet?
I did this morning.
I don't know if he really did or if he's being
funny. I tweet once a week on Saturday morning.
Just once a week. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Depending on how his bowels move.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's also tweeting.
Wow.
If you want to find me, if you want to, Denise. I'm just kidding. You can find me.
Come on, bitch. Bring it on.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm super duper sweet, remember? You can find me on the Facebook or the Instagrams at Amber Ash McCary.
McCary.
Tell her how you really feel.
I like the way she says
fine.
The Facebook.
Yeah. I always say the Netflix, the Amazon.
The Amazon.
I like doing it. It's my new thing. It's my thing.
Always been her thing. It's
like the 405 or the 90.
Or the 90, yeah.
Where do they find you at, Zach?
I want to play Amber sound.
Poop, poop, be like Scooby-Dooby, poop.
And I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram.
And if you guys want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean Roberts HC. So, big thank you to Mark Bonilla.
That was awesome.
For joining us on
I just was mesmerized by his voice.
He's got a great voice.
He's got a deep voice.
And it matches him. Look at that hair and that...
I also realized something,
how
too.
How you doing?
That I think my buddy Phil X stole his haircut. Because the haircuts are almost identical. So.
No one can have Mark's.
No.
So it's, you know,
it's all, yeah. it's all Mark, 24/7.
Yeah.
All righty, guys. Once again, thanks for Mark Bonilla for joining us. Hope you guys had fun. We'll catch you guys next week, so please be good to each other.
Have fun out there, world.
Don't be a fuckwad.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.